Yes, hello and welcome to the second hour of The Run Home with Professor and Fletch. Thanks to Hyundai Tucson, tomorrow's SUV, book a test drive. And Anytime Fitness, the gym for anybody, anytime. If you did miss the first hour, it was a cracker. You can catch up on it on the Run Home with Joel and Fletch podcast at Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Our social media is at Joel Fletch SEN, or you can email us Joel and Fletch at sen.com.au. It is Wednesday, which means it's filled with wacky teams. Brian, what is your subject of choice this week for your wacky team?
Okay, for the listener that was listening yesterday, we dabbled in this and we were talking about names of celebrities or famous people that have similar names to places, countries, towns, cities. Think Denzel Washington. Think Paris Hilton. Think Penny Wong Kong.
Very good.
I've got to get her in there somehow.
Yeah.
You know my fascination with her.
Yeah. Have you met her?
I met her down. I played down there in Canberra, politicians versus players.
Was David Pocock there?
No.
No. When was that?
He was busy working. So Penny Wong comes out of dummy half.
Yeah.
Left arm, left hand carry, right arm fend. Cracking left foot step.
And so this
is it. Just cut me in two.
Really?
I was going for her and she's got me going one way.
Is she in New South Wales? Because we could do with a utility.
She's from South Australia.
Oh, is she?
Yeah, big in Glenelg.
Yeah, right.
What's that word called when you can spell it backwards?
Palindrome.
Palindrome. Kayak. Wow.
Mum.
Yeah, it's got to be more than that.
That was the first one that came to my head.
Anyway, let's get into this.
All right, so big news is broken overnight. We've got to talk about this. Taylor Swift said farewell to her latest admirer. Yes.
James.
Okay, the big news.
We're a serious. This is what happens after
4 o'clock. Sorry, mate. I got a bit
after
silly.
4 o'clock, we get into serious sports.
Okay.
Brooksy, big
presents.
News.
You're yes.
About, tell us what happened last night. You're just about to get a bed at 12:35.
Yeah, it was about 12:35, 12:40.
Jeez,
an alert that the Live Tour and PGA Tour merged.
Unbelievable.
I thought it was fake.
Yeah.
You know,
fake
there was
news.
Nothing about it. There was
the Batuta
were
at it again.
No rumors. There was no chat that anything was happening, and I immediately thought, wow, there was a lot of people that knocked back money, and I thought Cam Smith has done very well out of this. It was rumored to be $200 million to join the Live Tour. There was, remember there was meetings, emergency meetings, I think Rory McIlroy was involved to get people to stay at the PGA Tour. There was a lot of the PGA Tour saying that this is Saudi Arabia backed. It's and we know a lot of journos are saying this is money washing, sports washing, and they wanted to try and, you know, get into sport, and they've done it with other sports. That was the angle that they wanted to tell the golfers to stay with us. We'll look after you. We have looked after you. A lot of golfers like Phil Mickelson, Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka. Our man Cam Smith and Mark Leishman jumped over for good money.
Big Bronson. DeChambeau?
Bryson DeChambeau.
Bryson, not.
But Brooksy, how do we know the PGA hasn't given them a bit of a sweetener to stay? Because that hasn't been made public.
They might have to keep them.
No, there. I'm saying to say Tiger and Rory.
They could have. It wasn't made public, but they did increase the prize money for a lot of the tournaments, which isn't that upfront, you know, money that the Live Tour that were going, look, this is, and it was all getting out there. There was a lot. Remember, Cam Smith was getting hassled at the major.
British Open. He just won the British Open.
And he got hassled about it. And
Phil Mickelson got $300 million up front.
Australian.
Yeah. Filthy Australian. Phil.
But Filthy Phil has come out and basically said he punted away about 50 of that. Not of that money. Previous.
Oh, his previous wealth.
Oh, yeah, he said he was a really bad addict, yeah.
And apparently Tiger got offered $1.2 billion Australian and turned it down. I mean,
he doesn't need that.
No.
So Brooksy, just to clarify, I know that it's only breaking news, but is there a new tour going to be?
It's a merger.
But it's not called Live PGA. It's Live's
well, that's
gone
what,
now.
That's actually what it is, that the golf entity. Like, yeah, they're both pretty much going to change the name. It's a PGA Live Golf entity, let's call it.
Yep.
Similar to, I guess, the Super League ARL, where they changed it to the NRL after the Super League war.
Yeah.
When they got back together. It wasn't the ARL. It wasn't Super League.
So the PGA that's been around for over 100 years, and then this other golf tournament that comes in for how many months, Brooksy?
It's been 2 years. Would have been 2 years.
Yeah, it was basically started last year.
And they're going to get rid of the term the PGA because of this. That's crazy.
What about, because LIV was 54 holes. What happens
now? Well, this is all the machinations of all that is going to be discussed over the next few weeks. So the new guy, that the chairman of this entity, is coming from Saudi Arabia. It's Yasir Al Ramayan. So he's a governor of the Saudis investment fund, which is worth in excess of $620 billion. He's the chairman of Aramco, which is the oil giant in Saudi Arabia. He's also a chairman on the EPL team Newcastle United's board, who have been bought by the Saudis in recent seasons. He's a board member at Uber and SoftBank. He's also involved with the Crown Prince, like very tight with the Crown Prince.
Of Bel Air.
So
I thought you said serious sport, Brian.
Sorry, you couldn't help yourself.
But like, it's crazy, right? Like the you said, Professor. Like the PGA Tour has the name could be have been eliminated by this process.
So what about
the new entity?
So the PGA chairman and all those directors that came out and said, we don't believe in LIV, the human rights issue, but are they going to resign now? Because they were very, very vocal and very strong on those comments saying, look, we're happy with us. We know what goes on with, the Saudi money, blah, 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 blah. Well, now they're going to have to resign, aren't they?
You'd think so.
With cashed pockets, right? Like, surely they'll be making millions and millions of dollars and they'll just be walking away,
right? Well, they'd have to, right? Like, that's the thing. Like, I was thinking about it. It's one of the biggest sporting, events, that's happened in terms of news in the last, decade, easily. It could be all time. It is in golf, right?
Exactly. So do you think other, for example, tennis, could they be sitting back going, hang on, do we approach...
Tennis is different, right? Because it's a global sport.
So is golf.
But it's golf's in one. PGA's in one country. As in,
what do you mean?
The PGA only plays in one country.
No, I know, but I'm saying
the European tour is involved.
The European has gone in as well. But
majors are in two countries.
Yeah, but what? No, well, the British Open's a part of the European tour.
Yes,
but then it's also a part of the PGA.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, for tennis, it's different because there's not a whole bunch of different tennis. Comps, right?
Okay. The structure's the same. Like, you could argue that golf and tennis are the same. There is events, there's majors, there's individual players. Like, LIV brought in the team events, right? So there's the Ripper GC that Cam Smith and Mark Leishman were part of that team, which was sort of like an F1 sort of style that they wanted to go with. So it was teams, you got merch, you got all that stuff. You don't have that with the individual golfers. They are sponsored and they have Nike or Callaway or whatever it might be. Tennis is definitely up for grabs, thing.
How is somebody going to come in? Because there is only the ATP. Like, do you know what I mean? How is somebody going to come in and to start a whole new tournament and offer them more cash?
It might be a bit. I'm not saying it's a like for like exactly the same, but there is that element of they could start up events around the world tour. ATP has the slams, but they have similar to the FedEx Cup in the golf. They have the ATP 1000 events, and then they play for the at the end of the year, the top 10 play in an end of season event, similar to what the golfers do with the FedEx Cup. So I think it's a very similar model. I think football's probably the next one.
Yeah.
The Saudi state,
but they
have
tried
four
that, didn't
the
they?
Big, well,
yeah, and, they and that collapsed, and
no,
all
no,
the fans turned
but
on.
But
that
them. Was a Super League using the current team. So what they're doing now is using the Saudi League.
Oh right,
where they've Karim Benzema, the Ballon d'Or winner, has just signed a deal for 3 years to go there. Cristiano Ronaldo's there. Lionel Messi's rumored to be going there too. There's other peripheral players in the Premier League that are rumored to be going. Like, the thing with Europe is. And also with this situation is that, let's say they want to start something, it's FIFA sanctioned that league. So you can't threaten them by not playing majors, or they can play World Cups. They can still play for their nation because the Saudi league is affiliated with FIFA.
Can I ask you this? You're talking about the European tour of the golf. Does that come under the banner of PGA?
No, that's just separate. But what they said, they've all merged.
Yeah, okay.
All together. So
imagine this TV deal. Imagine the TV rights deal.
Be crazy. So will the tournaments now? Because the thing that used to annoy me with the PGA was that three of the majors were in the States, right? And one of them was in Britain, and that we didn't have anything down here. And then you saw that LIV Golf tournament in Adelaide, which just looked like the most amazing fun. So does this now mean that golf will become more like Formula One? and tennis, and the tournaments will work their way around the world, and we'll get stuff down here with all the best golfers in the world.
Well, I'm hoping so, but does the PGA, all those old school traditionalists now go, can they see the future? Like all these the older dudes that have been on the board thinking the success of, for example, Adelaide, they're thinking this is the way forward. Because it is, really, for young people. And we saw the success down there. You see at the Arizona, at the waste management, where they get
right into it
as well.
Yeah.
Well, the argument is that we might actually cop it for this. So the Australian event might not happen because...
Oz Open, you mean?
You think, no, this Live Tour Adelaide.
Oh, gotcha.
Right, because that was created off the back of the Live Tour forming. So when they try and bring everything back together, there might be a few things that need to go because... when you have two concurrent tournaments, you can play in different areas and different courses because there's technically two tournaments happening the same time throughout the year. So maybe Adelaide, maybe Australia loses one of those events because they want to maybe put a few extra in Saudi Arabia, around the Middle East, more in the US.
But it's fascinating that they've just come out with no rules, no explanation. Overnight and just said, right, we're merging. Not even the players knew. The PGA players didn't know.
When are they saying all these changes are going to happen? Like, when does the PGA dissolve? Because obviously we are mid-season for golf.
Yes.
Does it happen straight away?
US Open's next month. Yeah. Well, this month.
It's this month in LA.
So is that now the new Live / PGA / European, or is it till the end of the year?
Can the Livies play?
I think at the moment it's same rules as apply. This will go be effect next year. So nothing's been formal. Like the players are just finding out our morning.
Yeah.
Monahan flew to Toronto, I think, and met with some of the players, and they are livid. Like, absolutely angry.
No, Livid.
Yeah. Like,
there's your headline.
Yeah, Livid.
Telegraph. We are Livid.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great stuff, mate.
Isn't it similarities between ARL versus Super League? Because, you know, you're ushered into rooms, you've got to be there a certain time.
You just missed it, didn't you?
I got 30 grand. And then I signed on the Friday, and then my manager rang me and said, okay, sweet. Super League's broken. And, Canterbury want to speak to you. 160 sign on. And I went, ooh, there might be an issue. I've just signed.
Oh,
I stayed loyal. I didn't know what was going on. No one told us. So we signed on the Friday.
Yeah.
Sunday morning, all hell broke loose.
So do you think the Chooks knew what was about
Dusty,
to break?
And
so
they... For sure.
Obviously, Freddie didn't sign on for 30K.
No, probably had three more zeros after that.
The dodgy.
This all sounds very cloak and dagger. Yeah.
So you, Fletch, you could, I guess, relate to a young golfer, right? That would have been on the tour. That's like, because some of the young golfers got offered huge amounts of money to go to Live.
Yes.
So they didn't just go for the top line. They sort of spread out, saw potential, went for different golfers.
Didn't have to make a cut. That was the attraction. Remember, there was the young Australian golfer. I can't remember his name, but. If he did run last, he would still get more money than he's earned.
Yeah,
on the
and
PGA.
So he could stay on the tour, right?
Yeah,
because every week
cuts.
They're fighting, to survive. Yeah. You know what they should do? They should just go back and say, "Look, we offered that bloke that money. Let's pay it to them." As in, people that said, "Oh no, I don't want to go," just to keep everybody happy. So they should give Tiger the $1.2 billion, and go, "Just stop being upset, Tiger. Here you go." They should give. Rory, whatever they offered Rory, he was probably, I don't know, 800 million.
Yeah, but Rory would have got an earn. You can't tell me.
As an advocate for the PGA Tour.
You cannot tell me.
Oh, that's true.
Remember how him and Tiger had a meeting, secret meeting? They got all the golfers on their planes. You're telling me that the PGA just went, righto, boys, I need you to be an ambassador.
I guess the silly thing is these guys are already worth hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Like, they've already made more money than they can spend. So that's why Tiger, $1.2 billion to Tiger, he just goes, meh. I've already got.
Oh, he's not doing that.
You don't reckon? I suppose
he's had two divorces.
Oh, and he was at fault on both.
He was at fault. So 75% gone?
Yeah, twice. Gone. Is he living in a caravan? What's he living?
I think he's living in America. Living in America. Let's get back to this wacky team because I've got to get the team together. So if you're just joining us, and that was quite serious. I didn't mind that sort of chat.
Yeah. And this is what you do now. Is it at 4 o'clock you do your serious sports?
Well, not really. I am a journalist.
You interviewed Ryan Webb
and I got
a few weeks ago.
Oh,
and
I know.
Now he's,
I know.
Now he's just,
oh God,
he loves the hard-hitting news.
Have you had any follow-up interviews?
Of that stature?
Mm.
No. But Greg Norman might be available for an interview because he's gone.
Yeah.
That was the proviso that...
You're joking.
PGA said, yeah, we'll merge.
As long as the shark's gone.
As long as that man with blue shorts on the beach with that big thing down the
That's
front of his
That's why, though.
See you later.
What are you hiding?
Yeah.
What are you hiding?
That's just jealousy.
He's a bit of an A-grade.
Have you met him?
I haven't, but I've just seen what he does. Like, you know, when he was standing over the top of the reporter and stuff?
Yeah.
I think he's an A-grade. I think he would like a hat. Greg, if you're out there, 0457-736-736, Shark, give us a call. I'll give you a hat.
Now, the World Test Championship, it starts tonight. You can catch every ball live from the Oval right across the SEN network. Cracking commentary lineup with Harsha Bogle and Jared Waitley. Is he there?
No, Waitley isn't there. We've got Adam Collins.
Adam
We've got
Collins.
Peter Lailer. We've
very
got
good.
Ravi Shastri, Maximum.
Simon O'Donnell?
No, he's over here still.
Okay.
But yeah, great.
Great lineup.
Team on the ground.
And
the
it kicks
oval.
Off tonight, doesn't it?
It does.
7 o'clock kickoff.
Oh,
yep.
Let's go. And my man's in, Nisa.
No.
No, he's not.
No, Boland.
Boland.
Yeah,
Nisa's Boland.
What?
For carrying the drinks. I'm with you, mate.
Nisa has been slaying them.
Mate, he got 100 in county cricket.
Talking about
could be
batting.
A late change.
Yeah, swinging.
I know. But
green like, tops. I don't mind Scotty Boland. He'll keep it nice and tight. But Nisa.
I know, he's got the X factor. All right.
And nephew. All right, what else you got?
Are we taking a break here, gang?
Yeah, let's take a
break. You're on the run home with the Professor and Fletch. Yes, welcome back to the run home with the Professor and Fletch this afternoon. It is now time for this. Well, it's not time for that. I thought it was an NRL news update sting. That's okay. Hey, some news is broken in the NRL. Joining us now is Channel 7 NRL reporter and part of the Breakfast Show with Brandy and Vossie. It's Michelle Bishop. Are you there, Michelle?
Good afternoon, gents.
Oh, you never stop, Michelle. You never stop. So there's been some breaking news about Dylan Brown. Do tell.
Yeah, rugby league is the gift that keeps on giving, let me tell you. But yeah, in some breaking news, Dylan Brown won't be able to play for Parramatta. He's actually been stood down by the NRL. He faced court today, had some new bail conditions imposed. But yeah, this is falling under the NRL no fault stand down policy. Now I need to make this very clear. This obviously this crime, the five charges of sexual touching, obviously doesn't equate to an 11-year prison sentence. But what has happened is the NRL, Andrew Abdo has the discretionary powers to make the call. And I guess in the past, you know, we've seen that if it does involve women or children, it's something that the NRL takes very seriously. The game takes very seriously, and I guess that's why they've made that call today. So he will be sitting on the sidelines now until this court case is effectively over.
Okay, so when is that court case?
We're talking June 28 at the moment is his next court appearance, so that's obviously going to probably go on, you know, beyond that. It's quite a lengthy process. There's two sides to this, obviously the footy side, which is less serious, but it is quite dramatic in terms of the Eels. We spoke to Clint Gutherson a short time ago, and he sort of said that the Eels were about to embark on 4 brutal weeks. They've obviously lied on trips anyway. They've got Regan Campbell-Gillard coming back for them against the Dogs, which is a huge in. But then there's still a lot of focus in and around Mitch Moses, whether he will obviously make it through this week and could he be selected for Origin. They're a little bit light on. They've gone through a few injuries at the moment. That's the less serious side. But obviously Dylan Brown and his headspace and obviously the charges that he's facing.
So, Michelle, do you think the NRL had waited until the mention of the court today for the details of it? Is that why they... Because the teams came out yesterday. I would have presumed the NRL got straight onto it after news broke. And just
yeah, a little... I have to be honest with you, a little bit disappointing, and I did touch on this in breakfast this morning, just the whole perception. I mean, we don't know if Dylan Brown is guilty or innocent. That will be decided by the court, but I guess just the seriousness of what, you know, what's allegedly taken place, I just don't think it was a good look from the NRL to allow the Eels. I guess they should have been had that power taken away from them to name him yesterday. And this probably wouldn't be as big of a drama if you get what I mean in terms of the perception. I just think they should have acted on this a little bit sooner than what they had. But obviously he fronted court this morning, which has been really interesting. His lawyer obviously did all of the talking. He hasn't entered a plea, but it's pretty clear that he's obviously going to, you know, dispute all five charges. There's been some CCTV shown in court. We'll obviously have to see how that kind of plays out. He's obviously feeling very confident. But again, this is going to take the distraction away from Parramatta, I guess, that he won't be in and around training and part of, you know, having cameras poked in his face. And I suppose it's the best thing for everybody.
Yeah. And what are the rules now? So if you get stood down by the NRL, you can't get a training at all?
Well, you're not supposed to, right. As far as I'm aware. You're sort of supposed to, you know, be going about your business. He'll obviously need a little bit of support too, Dylan. We've got to remember he's a 22-year-old bloke, a kid. Well, he's not a kid, is he? I get in trouble for saying that, but I've got children, so I'm excused. Yeah. He's a 22-year-old guy. He's obviously, the bye weekend is, well, that's the other interesting part. They made a pact. Mitchell Moses spoke about it. All of the first grade team made a pact to go and lay low across the weekend. Mm. We've heard from Clint Gutherson this afternoon saying that, you know, well, what's your version of lay low? Everybody's different. We're all individuals. And that just might have been his way of laying low and I guess, getting away from footy. But in fairness, back to reality with life, he's 22 years of age. It was a mate's birthday party. Mm. It wasn't a crime for him to attend that.
No, that's right. And obviously the victim as well. So hopefully she's okay. And, it's not good.
Well, I think that's the key thing here. That's the message that we're sending, that the NRL does care. We do care about the victim and, I guess, the allegations that are being made. But it does have to go to court, and Dylan Brown will have his day in court and we'll have to go on from there. But for now, the less serious side, the footy side, the Eels have to plough on without him, which is, you know, going to be pretty interesting, and even more interesting, I guess, if Mitchell Moses is put in that origin frame.
Yeah, and they've just got rid of Jacob Arthur too, so he's over at Manly, so they're a little bit light on in halves. Who do you think will replace Dylan Brown?
The kid from the Cowboys and the Warriors, Azzy, is it Dajan Azzy? Yeah,
yes.
Azzy. Yeah, he'll obviously be slotted in there, I'd imagine, this weekend.
Okay.
And obviously big booster, as I said before, with Regan Campbell-Gillard coming back, and interesting to see if he can play his backside off. We saw it with Josh Addo-Carr being able to prove himself with an 80-minute performance to make his way into that side. So, because Regan was playing some awesome footy before he was injured.
Now, Michelle, you know rugby league probably better than anyone here at SEN. Who's your halves partnership for, as we digress a little bit, Origin 2?
I'm not going to like it. I don't like any bit of it. I just have, I'm channeling my inner Freddy.
Yes. Take your shoes off.
I reckon you'll go
off.
Mitchell Moses.
Really?
They're off. And I actually do. I'd like to see Nicho Hynes be given a chance on the big stage. I just don't think it was, really fair, but that's, you know, footy's not fair, the way that all unfolded in game one. But I'd love to see him be given a chance on the big stage. But I just, my feeling is that Freddie will know he's got that relationship with Mitchell from the Lebanon squad. I was a pretty big part of that during the World Cup. And I know they've got a great, you know, sort of relationship. And it was really interesting for us to ask Gutho just about how much Mitchell's maturity was. He's been for a long time criticised for not being able to nail the moments, but you know, he's sort of proven that that's probably not the case anymore. He's really stood up when it's counted for the Eels in recent times. Gutho's obviously stuck his hand up and said he's the man for the job. I'm nervous. I'm really, really nervous. We've got to nail game two to keep this series alive.
Indeed. Hey, thanks for calling in, Michelle. Are you on tomorrow morning with Vossie and Brandy?
Sure am. Nice, bright and early.
Oh, geez.
So do you come into the studio, Michelle, or you're just on the phone?
Some days. But usually I'm out on location. You know, I'm off to a training session or a media conference or racing or, you know, there's always something.
Do you hammer Brandy for information?
I try really hard. I even try and play the dumb blonde, and I'm allowed to say that because I am blonde.
Yes.
I try my hardest, but he's just too good.
Too good old Brandy, isn't he?
Can't get much out of him. He doesn't leak like a sieve like Shervo. Shervo can just
leak
like a sieve. Yeah.
You wait till he... I've got to be really careful with what I say about Shervo now because, you know, he's sat next to me for all these years, but now he's up in the big chair.
I know.
Hope he still talks to me in the corridors.
Yeah, well, I started he started his media career with me on Super Saturday with Shervo.
Oh, that was the best.
Wow.
Some of the footage that we've got.
Look at you now.
I know. I was talking to my wife about this last night, and she goes, look where you are and look where he is. So
one of the nicest blokes in TV.
Oh, absolutely.
But the he hasn't got his...
Hey, his stuff.
He didn't get his nipple pierced yesterday, so who's the big shot now, hey?
Still sure, though. Yeah. Definitely
I can
still
tell
sure.
you that he brings a lunchbox every day.
Yeah, and what does he bring? Where does he bring his food in? Sorry, Michelle, we're going
to
go.
I always say, aren't you paid too much to bring your lunch? I'm going to go, guys.
Oh, no. Very good. Yeah, no, you'll be on Channel 9 soon. See you. Bye.
Michelle Bishop, they're very good. And Shervo is the world's nicest man. Oh, my God.
See, this is with Dylan Brown, so he'll go to court on the 28th. So I'm not really au fait with what goes on, but they have a mention. Usually they have a mention because there's a later court date. So effectively, we might not see him because they adjourn it.
Again for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's every chance. And then what happens at the end of all of that if he's completely innocent?
Well, it happened to Luciano Leilua.
Yeah.
So he missed the World Cup, and just before his court case, the prosecutors dropped the case. So that's usually what happens. So. Not good for anyone.
No, not good at all. All right, time to do some NRL news here. Play that sting that I asked for.
It's time for an NRL news update.
Thanks to MyHR, the HR and payroll platform for SME.
Sorry, mate.
I would have been like, whatever, just roll with the punches.
Mate, I got it wrong at the wrong point. I asked for it at the wrong point. You know, still learning. Only done this about 400 times now. Hey, big news out of Souths. Former Souths captain Brian Fletcher. Cody Walker has injured himself at training. Reports of a quad strain. Mm. The Rabbitohs taking on the Dragons this weekend. Cody was in the frame for blue selection as well. So that's another one that's fallen by the wayside.
I mean, a month ago, we were waxing lyrically ad nauseum about South Sydney's chances. We're saying they're home. It's only the other two. Now they've got no Cam, no Jai Arrow, no Latrell, no Cody. That's basically their gun. That's their not only their senior players, but everything that revolves around them in attack.
How long are you out for a quad strain?
It just depends. It depends on the severity. But probably one good thing is, I know if he doesn't kick goals, I know goal kickers, they can hang around forever. So just depends how bad it is. But they're starting to look a bit wounded.
They seem to still win, though, don't they? Not so bad that they're taking on the Dragons either.
Well, $3, not bad.
Is what the Dragons are paying.
Just I don't have to say it. I'm just
Can
giving
you say
advice.
It on that or?
I'm stating a fact.
I'm just.
Okay, don't get on Brooksy's bandwagon. I'm just stating a fact. I'm not saying go and put your hard earned on the Dragons at 3-1.
But are you now saying?
No, I'm saying.
No, you're saying don't.
I'm not saying anything. I don't have an opinion either way. All I was doing was stating a fact.
Did you go?
No. Oh. If
can you play the tape?
If you interpret as
tasty,
tasty, Jakarta.
You made the same sound when Shervo when there was mentions about lunchbox. How he brings his lunch to
just on Shervo. I did work closely with him.
I know.
Very, 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 very. Good journalist, very good host. He's going to do wonders there. I'm not too sure, because I saw him in the green room, I'm not too sure whether that incident back then, the Commonwealth Games, 100 metres, basically is the truth.
Hang on. It is not an incident. That is a work of art.
I've had a close look at that. Because remember we did a shoot once when I was in the Brasco with him?
Oh, yeah, that's right. And I said not to look, but you did.
I couldn't help it.
Yeah.
Yes. Not talking Reece Walsh areas, but I think he was very, very flattered.
Can I ask?
Rank Mort.
Can I ask?
Not a Rank Mort. No. Definitely not. Definitely not an MP.
Well, but what about
RW?
We've spoken about another man today, Greg Norman. Where does he rank?
He's a fraud because we've worked it on. It was a strap on. He strapped that big thing.
Not
down.
Iron.
No wonder he's not getting the gig at golf.
He's a fibber.
Fair enough.
Has Mort shorts because you got implants. You can just put your blue shorts on. You get like the chicken breast, like the ladies do with the bra, and you slide them in.
Is this... Where can I get one?
They're called Mort shorts.
Mort shorts?
Get them from Glenner Avenue, Bondi.
2 for $49.
Gone up a little bit now. After live. All right, we've got to take a quick break. We're back after this.
Yes, you're on the run home this afternoon with the Professor and Fletch. Thanks to Hyundai Tucson, tomorrow's SUV. Book a test drive and Anytime Fitness, the gym. For anybody... Anytime, just a reminder, it is Wednesday, which means it's Wacky Teams, the subject this afternoon. Fletch is anybody with a name.
Celebrities
that's a city.
Or famous people with names. One came through here. This is Davey from Gloucester. He wants John Denver at hooker.
Well, that's very good. I like that. Coming up after the break, we've got Troy Phillips. You are on the run home with the Professor and Fletch.
It's time now for Troy Phillips from First Point Mortgage Brokers, Sydney's homegrown experts in banking and finance.
Yes, that's right. Listen to the stinger. It is time now for Troy Phillips to join us for all things finance. Fletch, I know you've got 1,000 questions. You always do.
I do. My first question is, welcome, Troy.
Yes, hello, Troy. How are you?
How are you, Fletchy? Is that the professor?
It is. G'day, Troy. How are you?
My first question to Troy is Thursday night. I was walking around the city and I ran into Troy and his posse. I was leaving Mr. Wong's, my favourite Chinese restaurant. In comes the Shire crew, Caring Bar crew, just rocks in. Oh, my question to you is, over or under bottles of Pinot Noir, 7.
Don't remember. Could have been overs, I think, Fletch.
Yeah,
got to be excited. We hadn't been to the Big Smoke for a while.
Yeah.
And you tipped us, you and your posse tipped us in some, we didn't even have to look at the menu. We just went straight for, give us what the boys had previously.
Yeah.
So we tucked in. It was good.
Yeah, it's a pretty special
place. And then one of your stragglers backed up and came back and visited us later on. So that was good.
Oh, the Texan.
Yeah, the Texan turned up. Came in hot. He came in really hot.
Well, we had our first beer at 9 a.m. that morning.
Oh, wow.
On the golf course.
At golf.
Yeah. So it was a good day. Anywho, let's talk finance because this is what you excel at. James and I, the professor and I, were discussing this. Interest rates, when are they going to stop? When is the Reserve Bank just going to sit back and say, righto, everyone's bleeding. We've got to stop this.
Mate, you know what? I said this before. I said last time I think we had 3 more in us. I definitely think there's 2 more rate rises. Like, you know, they've gone from 385 to 410. The screws are getting really tight on the mortgage holders now. Like, it's the heaviest debt level since the 80s. And most of us remember our parents talking about how tough it was. But people carry a lot more debt these days. I think, you know, I said when we've discussed this before and we didn't think, when we've come from like rates of 2% and there's people coming off to early sixes. And we said, you know, well, when will rates stop? Well, as I said, New Zealand's at 5.5% and the US is at 6%. We're at 4.1%. So I think there's 2 more rate rises. And you know what? The Reserve Bank governor, I mean, other than Bernie Fraser, when he used to be like the Sandman and do we are the super of the future, no one really knew who the governor was. And it should be that way. I just think probably the RBA is being thrown under the bus a little by the government. Their job's to sort of curb inflation.
Mm.
And the only way they can do it is by increasing rates. So I think there's definitely 2 more rate rises to come. And the only way inflation gets curbed is when things break. So I think we're going to see, you know, for all the listeners out there, I think we're going to see friends and family do it really tough. And if you haven't looked ahead, when economists talk short term, remember what short term is 2 or 3 years. Mm. It's not a year. So I think we're talking 2 years of high rates compared to what we're used to. And I think get used to the rates we're at now for quite some time.
So if you're saying 4.1,
which is a bit scary.
So it's 4.1 now, Troy. 2 more.
That's the cash rate.
Yeah, so 2 more hikes. What's it going to get to?
Well, so we're going to be at like 4.4. I reckon we'll see it top at about 4.0. I reckon we'll get it to about 4.8. I'm not an economist, but when I saw Fletch last week, the Commonwealth Bank economist told me that there was no more rate rises coming. I thought there was more. I reckon about 4.8, which is still less than New Zealand and the US. But that's going to take people's rates on basic variable mortgages to close to 7%, where they would have been at, you know, early 2% at one stage 12 months ago. So that's the biggest increase we've ever seen as an imposter percentage of people's income ever in Australia. So it's actually getting serious now, which is a worry. I think it's gonna hurt a lot of good people.
Sure.
A lot of businesses are gonna, you know, I think we'll see unemployment kick up. But these are the things that break inflation. It's all the things that actually aren't good things. And they've got to get inflation to 2% or 3%, they say. That's 7% now. So I don't know what that looks like, to be honest.
Troy, can I ask you this? Just in layman's terms and for our listeners out there who aren't fully across inflation, what are the areas they look at for inflation? So,
well, they look at a basket of goods, don't they? Like the old days, it used to be, you know, bread, milk. That's the CPI, and but I think our inflation's been brought on by what all them. It's a bit different. It's like everything. The GFC was something new. This one's been brought on by COVID and all the money they printed.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we had all that logistics issues where we couldn't get stuff into the country. So anybody that had something put the price up. So it's supply and demand. So prices have gone up across the board. They haven't adjusted. And I think fuel costs and energy costs, like we're pushing towards, you know, getting rid of global warming. And I think that's the energy costs are huge at the moment. And that's having a big impact on inflation as well.
But Troy,
I think that's probably one of the biggest ones.
Yeah, but it's what I don't understand. How can we as consumers stop inflation by do we turn off our lights? Do we turn off our heaters? Do we not how is that our fault that the energy companies are putting up their prices?
Well, Fletch, we can't. And I think this is a silly thing. I don't think rate rises on home loans in Australia is going to fix it. It's 3.3 million households. I said last time it was like just over 3 million households. So less than 30% of people are getting affected. And the people are getting affected are the people who thought, I'm doing the right thing. I'm getting a house. I'm, you know, moving into a property. And yeah, it's like, okay, rents are going up, but I think they've stabilised a little. But these people who thought they were doing the right thing are now stuck in, you know, a mire of debt, and the cost has gone up three times what it was.
Yeah.
So we can't do anything about it. That's the thing. And that's why I said last time, a couple of months ago, I said, the only way to solve this is to actually look a serious conversation. So why don't we just increase the GST by 2.5%? So everybody that spends money bears the cost. So
they get a whack as well, as because at the moment, the people that own their houses and got their money sitting in the bank, well, they're laughing. Not their fault.
They're not worried. And the young people haven't got a mortgage. You're out spending, you know, a couple of the young guys here. I said, this doesn't affect you. Are you going to go out and have a beer this weekend? Yeah, well, it's not affecting me. I'm living at home.
Yeah.
So there's people still spending money. It's hurting a very small part of the population. It's not going to fix it. So if I'm a mortgage broker and I can work that out, I'm surely the Treasurer and the Governor of the Reserve Bank can sit down and go, okay, we really have to have a good chat about GST. It catches people who deal in the cash economy, like, hate to say it, but they pay for it on their supplies. So a 2.5% increase in the GST would solve a lot of problems with us straight away. It's a hard call, but I think everybody would be in favour of it.
Now, Troy, I've got to get you before you go back into your sauna. I got a text here from the Brisbane Eagle. Fletch, is it fair to say, do I fix my home loan? Do I think about fixing my home loan with a 5 in front of it?
I can't give advice. I'll tell you what I've always done. When the rates have been on the rise, I've ridden the variable wave. Okay. I told a good mate of mine last week. He's a real estate agent with a whack of debt. I said there was a really good 1-year rate going at Macquarie Bank, and I said you'd be smart to lock in on this 1-year rate now. It was a super cheap rate, because I think in a year's time you might see rates have leveled out.
Okay.
But I wouldn't be taking a long term fixed rate right now unless you really want surety of where it's going. But you know, who knows where this is going to end? I don't want to give that advice.
Fair enough.
Oh. I don't think I ride the variable wave, but you know, and also I think my advice to listeners is think about what the next 2 years look like for you. This is serious. You want to make sure you've got a buffer there. So don't put it off till next month or the month after, because it's going to affect your borrowing capacity.
Okay. All right, Troy.
There's a lot of banks.
Yeah.
We've got to let you go.
Troy, that was awesome.
It's amazing. Yeah. Thank you, mate. Sorry for that. We've got to go to a break here. You're on the run home with the Professor and Fletch.